Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
This is DW's Africa Link program, live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. I'm Isaac Mugabe, your host.
With me, Wenji Komora.
Coming up on the program, Rwandans vote in an election expected to give President Paul Kagame another third term. We hear from a correspondent who has been talking to an opposition leader.
The mood in the country altogether is calm and collected. Right now, as we speak, the counting of the votes is ongoing.
Hate speech ahead of elections in Kenya next week has triggered an exodus of urban dwellers to the villages in order to stay safe. Listen to this one.
I need to go back up country because all I'm hearing from my neighborhood is that we are going to be slashed.
And of course, we will be bringing all your social media comments from our Facebook page, so keep commenting.
That's right, indeed, Wanjiko. But before all that, let's listen to what's been making headlines around the world.
I am Shay Meineke with DW News. Rwandans have voted peacefully in a presidential election on Friday, with polling stations closed as expected earlier in the day. An official with Rwanda's Electoral Commission says results are due soon, as more than 80% of the nearly 7 million registered voters casted their ballots without a hitch. The East African country's longtime leader, 59-year-old Paul Kagame, has ruled for more than two decades and is expected to win the country's next seven-year presidential term. The United Nations has released a report detailing more than 250 people murdered in Congo's Kasai region. UN Human Rights Chief Scott Campbell says violence against civilians and children must stop.
The High Commissioner is calling on the government to send out a clear message and instruction that this must stop. The militias must be disbanded, and the security forces of note, the army and the police carrying out operations in this area must be held to account.
Ethiopian lawmakers have voted to end a state of emergency imposed in October after hundreds of people were killed in anti-government protests calling for wider political freedom. More than 600 people were killed and more than 20,000 people arrested during the unrest. Ethiopia's defense minister says 8,000 are still behind bars. This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. Thousands of Kenyans have begun fleeing cities ahead of next week's presidential election after the murder of a senior Electoral Commission official last weekend triggered fears of violence. More than 150,000 officers have been sent to quell any potential violence at polling stations around the country, as final polls show a tight race between incumbent President Uhuru Kenyatta and former Prime Minister Raila Odinga. An official with Kenya's Interior Ministry says registered voters in the East African nation should stay calm and vote.
The best we'll do is to assure Kenyans that they need to stay calm, they need to stay where they are registered and voters, and they need to trust that we shall protect them to actually vote.
German supermarket chain Aldi has announced it would suspend all egg sales in its stores after it was discovered that millions of eggs have been contaminated with high levels of fipronil, a highly toxic insecticide that can reportedly damage organs if ingested in large amounts. Other German grocers have also taken preventative measures, while Belgium and the Netherlands have recalled millions of eggs and have launched criminal investigations to determine the source of the contamination. And now in sports, Brazilian professional footballer Neymar greeted hundreds of Paris Saint-Germain fans after his record €222 million transfer from Barcelona was finally completed. Neymar said the transfer was all heart and never about the money. He could make his debut with the club on Saturday. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
Welcome once again to the program. My name is Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Wenji Komora with your social media comments.
We begin today's program in Rwanda, where voters turned out in big numbers to elect a new president for the next 7 years. Incumbent Paul Kagame is widely expected to win with a landslide, and the only question is by how much. He's credited with rapid economic growth in the country, but critics accuse him of suppressing political opposition. Shortly before we came on air, I spoke to our correspondent in Kigali, Nasra Bishumba, and she started by telling me the mood right now in the country.
The mood in the country altogether is calm and collected. Right now, as we speak, the counting of the votes is ongoing, and we expect to have results in at least the preliminary ones as early as 10 p.m. tonight.
We understand the only opposition candidate, that is the leader of the Democratic Green Party, Frank Habineza, has raised concerns about the electoral process in Rwanda. What more can you tell us about what he said?
Well, Mr. Habineza said that he was happy with how the National Electoral Commission had organized the elections and the campaign period. But when we talked to him, he had some reservations about some issues, including the people who are in charge of some of the polling centers. And he also said that should he be elected as president, he needs to make some changes to the electoral law. And even if he is not, he will still pursue it. If you remember very well, last year he had applied for some changes and they were rejected. But he still insists that he must go on with his fight to see that there's a change. Take a listen.
We want also mayors of every district, every elected leaders, known to be at the same time the chairman of any political party. We want elected leaders to serve the government and political parties to be different, because there's a conflict of interest. As we have seen in overseas, there was a conflict of interest between the mayor and as a mayor of the people and as a chairman of the RIPF. Also in Nyamasheke, also in Nyagatari, also in Chile, we have evidence now, because last time they were saying that we didn't have evidence.
That was Frank Habineza, the leader of the Democratic Green Party. Now, Nasra, we also understand that parties are being organized in anticipation of a landslide victory for President Paul Kagame once the results are announced. What else can you tell us about these parties?
Yes, it's true. There is a list that has been circulating on social media, on WhatsApp groups, where locations have been indicated where tonight the celebrations will go on. It's not very surprising, since he himself said that this is the election is just a formality and he knows he's going to win.
That was DW's Nasra Bishumba in Kigali.
We have so many comments, as you would expect, Isaac. Fred Mwasa said, I have voted, and the Defense Minister General Kabarebe James was ushered past other voters, but preferred to stay in queue.
Wow, that's noble.
Absolutely. And David actually goes on to say, well, that is part of Rwandan's values. Our, help me pronounce this word.
Agaciro.
Agaciro, which means dignity. It is our agaciro. Happy for that our leaders have always shown an excellent example.
Yes, and Dize Omal says, thanks to at Rwanda Elections for ensuring right to vote for the blind people.
And Isaac, this is something that I was really blown away by. I've seen photos on social media where they have the braille papers with on the ballot board.
Exactly. We did a story about it, and they're excited to be voting for the first time, you know, special care for people with special needs.
Yes, indeed. We also have another comment here by clearly not a Rwandan. Karanja says, I thank the Rwandese for being just and for setting an example for and other African countries.
Well, many thanks to you, Wanjiko. On a related development, fearing an outbreak of possible violence in next week's elections, Kenyans living in urban areas are heading to the villages as a precautionary measure to stay safe. The rise of hate speech again has spread fear across the country, a stark reminder of the 2007-2008 elections when violence broke up after the disputed elections or outcome. Despite observers meeting with presidential candidates to encourage for a peaceful election in the capital, Nairobi, people are not happy with the way the candidates are handling the political tensions there. From Nairobi, Andrew Asike reports.
Machakos bus station in Nairobi is a beehive of activities. Bus loads have been ferrying thousands of people to their rural homes ahead of next week's elections. The hike of fare prices has not stopped many from fleeing to rural safety. They flock the central station packed with all their household items. I spoke to the Nairobians leaving the city.
I need to go back up country, but because all I'm hearing from my neighborhood is that we are going to be slashed. So whatever I saw in 2007, I've learned my lesson. My neighbor, who is just a vendor somewhere in the city, was hacked, as in the whole hand gone. So I think I can't wait for mine to go or something. So I'm packing my babies here, disturbing me. I'm packing my stuff. I need to leave immediately. So please just pray for us. But I'm going. I'm not voting. I'm not doing anything. I'm going. I'm just going.
I come from Buruma in Nairobi, but my rural home is in Kiambu. I am afraid of the elections because I'm afraid of the 2007 repeating itself again.
I come from Mathare slums in Nairobi, but I'm heading to my rural home in Kisumu. It's because of what I saw back in 2007, people being killed. I wouldn't want to suffer the same fate. I took my vote from Nairobi, but I can't stay here to vote. Let me just go back to my rural home where I am surrounded by my tribesmen, my brothers and my sisters.
Some bus companies have been turning away people who are registered as voters in Nairobi. Mark, who prefers we use only his first name, says they are ensuring people fulfill their civic duty.
We take your money when we have the receipt and you don't refund the money. They have the right to travel home, but we want them to vote.
The government says it will deploy more than 150,000 officers from the police and other agencies. But it is not enough to quell the current fear. Interior Affairs Principal Secretary Karanja Kibicho.
There is a lot of spread of fear by politicians especially, which is making some Kenyans choose to leave where they stay to their villages.
Andrew Asike reporting from Nairobi. Off to Italy. The Italian government is accusing aid groups of coordinating with people smugglers in the Mediterranean, effectively acting as a ferry service between Libya and Europe. Italy is demanding that organizations with rescue boats agree to new rules, including cooperating with police investigations on board. One group that's refused is Doctors Without Borders. Human rights groups say the migrants face abuse in Libya detention centers and therefore need protection. Here's Flavio Giacomo of the International Organization for Migration, IOM.
Well, these are ongoing investigations. We are not going to comment on that. But even if there is one case, which is not yet proved, actually, that there has been something by a few people, it does not should not be reflect our judgment on the work which has been carried out this year by NGOs. NGOs carried out about 40% of a life-saving operation at sea. Without them, we would have seen many more deaths in the Mediterranean. And I think that we commend, appreciate their job. And I hope that this debate will not criminalize the operations, the rescue, search and rescue operations at sea carried out by the NGOs. I think that Doctors Without Borders, Save the Children, and the MOAS and others are really carrying out an outstanding job, and they are helping the other ships, international, Italian, military ships, which are carrying out rescue operations at sea, and they are carrying out an outstanding job. We really stand beside them.
That was Flavio Giacomo from the IOM. Now, people are fearing, you know, an outbreak of, you know, violence next week, and they've decided to go to the villages, all because of hate speech from the politicians. You've been following this.
Yes, I have been following this, as we have in the recent weeks. And we've been also receiving comments from people in Kenya telling us what their experience is. Vincent from Kenya, for example, says most individuals aren't actually living for fear of violence. They are traveling to vote in their respective constituencies where they are registered as voters, me being one of them. That's the Vincent. Of course, this also gives us a different picture where there's a part of the community that feels, oh, maybe I should go back upcountry and see what is going on. I'm afraid for my life. But people like Vincent are also giving us the other picture, which says some people chose to be registered upcountry. Hate speech is one of the things that is fueling clashes amongst different ethnic groups. And so this commission came out and said, oh, you know what? We will actually follow you into your WhatsApp groups. Now, Isaac, something that is quite interesting is that when this commission chair says, we will come to you in your WhatsApp groups.
Isn't that infringing on, I mean, freedom of speech? And
for starters, it is. But also one of the challenges that they will encounter is that you cannot say that as an admin, we will arrest you. Mm-hmm. Because in a WhatsApp group, I can make you an admin in a group that I am admin of. So how will they know who started the group, you
know? Exactly. Many thanks, Ndini Wanjiku, for those comments. Welcome once again to the program. Live from studios here in Bonn, Germany, I'm Isaac Mugabe hosting it.
With me, Wanji Komora.
Our main story today was Rwandans have been voting in an election that incumbent President Paul Kagame is expected to win. We will have more comments on that a little later on the program whenever need arises.
And coming up also in the next 15 minutes, we'll be hearing a Rwandan blogger talking about the plight of refugees in Rwanda.
Not easy because, first of all, I mean, they had to flee their home country and come and live in Rwanda. And being a fast-developing country, the culture shock, the change wasn't easy for them.
Well, doing business in Burundi is becoming a nightmare each day that goes by due to energy shortages. To calm down on the situation, the energy minister has announced that the country will soon get 30 megawatts to fill the deficit, a far-fetched promise with the current political and economic situation in the country. As Apollinaire Nyora reports from Bujumbura, the business community can only hope that the minister's wishful thinking can become a reality.
Burundi has been suffering from a power load shedding in the country's major cities for several months. Many business owners and traders say their businesses have gone bankrupt due to lack of electricity supply. Dionise Niyonkuru, a barber in the south of the capital Bujumbura, is one of them. I talked to him at his hair-cutting saloon at Kanyosha and he says they now have to buy substitutes of the electricity.
In general, life is too hard because electricity is a problem. To be able to work, you have to look for other equipment like inverters and batteries. It's difficult to get them as there is no money. A day can end without electricity. In 24 hours, we can get electricity for 1 hour or even less. You understand that life is hard because we don't work at all. Our life is really in God's hands. Our business doesn't generate anything.
The electricity crisis has spared no one. A welder at Bwiza near Bujumbura city center says he can hardly afford to pay the rent since his business has been hard hit. Eric Ngendakumana.
Life is hard, especially for us who rent houses. It's difficult to get what we need to pay the rent. Now it's really hard to get the rent because electricity is scarce. But we look for coping mechanisms. When energy is in Rohero, we move there. But we're charged a lot and we lose. Our life is terrible.
Those who can afford have resorted to use power generators, like Sylvester Njakwa, an agent at a shop doing secretarial services in Bwiza.
We suffer a lot, but we look for coping mechanisms. You saw a power generator turned on there. We use power generator and fuel. The use of power generators affects the intellectuality of people. Much noise and fumes of the generator affects public health. Revenues fell. Before, we did a photocopy for 50 francs, but now it is 100 francs. A photocopy on both sides is 200 francs. A typed page that was at 500 francs is now at 1,000 francs. Clients are not coming and many people have now opted for writing with hands and not computers.
Although Burundian Energy and Mining Minister Komi Manirakiza has promised power rationing will be reduced before the end of August, many like Dionise Niyonzima and Tuseni Zigimana are still skeptical.
For instance, they gave us a period that in 1 month we would get the energy, but 1 month later they postponed. Even now, the hope is low.
We were told on this date or so that we would have electricity. We only believe. There are other promises that have been accomplished. We just hope.
Dams in Burundi generate about 40 megawatts, but the fall of water levels at dams has badly lowered the power generation.
Apollinaire Nyora reporting from Bujumbura.
Now, I had the opportunity to catch up with one Natasha Omutoni, who is an entrepreneur.
Blog report.
And this is her story of how she started blogging, but particularly talking to us about the plight of refugees in Rwanda.
It's not easy because, first of all, I mean, they had to flee their home country and come and live in Rwanda. And being a fast developing country, the culture shock, the change wasn't easy for them. But I would say the government is doing a lot to help them. It's making many processes and policies very easy for them. But again, even us as Rwandans, sometimes it's hard with the high cost of living and the change. It's very different from what they're used to. So I can say it's really not easy.
Are you from Burundi or Rwanda yourself?
I was born in Congo in exile. So we lived there as refugees because my grandparents fled in 59 from Rwanda. So I was born in Congo and grew up as a refugee. I came back to Rwanda after the genocide against the Tutsi in 1995.
How do you remember this experience?
Yeah, I remember being differentiated from all the others. I knew I was Rwandan and I knew it wasn't back home, because the other children used to call us out, like at school, they would say, "You Rwandan, you Munyarwanda." Even our names were very different the way we were. Even physically, we were very different from other children. So I didn't understand quite well, but our parents would explain to us, because we would come back with questions. I would come back home with questions and ask why I'm not called certain names like my classmates, and they would tell us why we're living in Congo and not in Rwanda.
So this experience, does it influence what you write about?
So I blog about lifestyle mostly, things that affect women in their daily lives. And I try most of the time to challenge the status quo of what we live in, the things we believe mostly. So I blog mostly about my experiences or the experiences of other people.
So you have lived in Congo, you have been in Rwanda, and now you're in Kampala. What brought you to Kampala?
I came for a weekend. I came to visit a friend. But I also lived in Kampala before coming back home in Rwanda. So I lived there like 2 years.
I was speaking to Natasha Omutoni in Kampala, but comes from Rwanda.
Yeah, indeed. Many thanks, Wanjiko. And as usual, every Friday we have some sports for you. Here's Samson Omale in Lagos.
Neymar has officially joined Paris Saint-Germain, the French club from Barcelona of Spain, for a fee of 222 million euros. He's expected to earn 45 million euros a year. Neymar spoke about his move today in the press conference. He says his move is drawn by motivation and the love of a new challenge and nothing more.
I wanted to come to Paris, and this was only linked to me willing to find a new challenge. It's not because I didn't feel like I was the star at FC Barcelona and that I wanted to be the big star. No, I felt really well in Barcelona. So this is not what I'm looking for here in Paris. I'm really looking for new challenges, something new, trophies. And this is what Paris Saint-Germain wants. They deserve it.
A move that has drawn reactions even from Frenchman Arsene Wenger, manager of the English Premiership side Arsenal, saying the prizes for players will double.
It will have implications because it's just the consequences it will provoke, because the clubs where Barcelona will want to buy a player will say, "My friends, you have 250 million or 220 million in your pocket. So what costs 50 will cost 100 today for them."
In the ongoing women tournament, all eyes are now on the final pitting Netherlands against Denmark. The Dutch dream of winning a home tournament after beating England 3-0 in the semi-final. Back here in Africa, South Africa's biggest football club have signed on a new coach. Former Ugandan coach Milutin Seredejovic has now been unveiled as a new Buccaneers coach after months of speculation that he was on his way to rejoin Orlando Pirates. Orlando Pirates club's chairman, Dr. Ivan Klose, did not reveal the length of the coach's contract, but says it's clear the Serbian manager will be replacing former coach Kijal Jonavret.
Good experience having, traversed, the continent. He understands the game, he was in touch with our game. He knows all the players in South Africa. He watches all our games. So that in itself comes with the added value.
In athletics, top African athletes will be competing for top honors in the 16th edition of the IWAF World Championship this weekend in London. Around 2,000 athletes from 200 nations are expected to participate in the event in London. Kenya hopes to retain the overall title, which they won in 2015 in Beijing, China, but without David Rudisha, the world record holder in 800 meters. Rudisha, the world and Olympic champion and the only person to run under 1 minute 41 seconds for the 800 meters, pulled out a few days to the championship due to injury.
That was Samson Omale in Lagos reporting about sports. And normally when you go in sports the weekend, it goes with beer. Most sports lovers like their beer to watch the match.
And Isaac. Having.
And today is International Beer Day. So listeners out there, remember to drive safely. Don't drink and
drive.
Exactly.
Please stay safe, guys.
That's our message. And we'll get back to our story about Kenya and elections, including also Rwanda. Daniel Juma Omondi says, remember, no politician is worth dying for. If you eat a bullet on his behalf, chances are he won't be at your funeral. Hashtag Tribeless Youth.
And we have lots of this. So just to bring you up to speed, Tribeless Youth is actually a movement on social media of young people who are saying, you know what, you will not identify me by my tribe.
Exactly.
So they are claiming that they are tribeless. I think this is on one hand a good thing, mm-hmm. and on the other, of course, it has its challenges.
Exactly. And Kibet Bennett says, hashtag Tribeless Youth, my fellow Kenyans, the 2007-2008 trajectory of ethnic animosity, which led to more than 1,000 death and hundreds of thousands of people rendered homeless. Wanjiku, I was asking you about that previous election, you know, 4 years ago. It was peaceful.
Yes.
Where is the hate speech coming from right now?
First of all, social media has played a significant role in rising this tension among people, because messages of people being told, oh, you have to be careful this election period. It's either our person or nothing, you know, it's one or nothing. There's no chance for people to accept that either persons could win. And by either persons here, we're talking about Uhuru Kenyatta and Raila Odinga, who are the main candidates of this election.
Yes. And please continue. You had a question about hate speech and Kenyans, about messages from other people.
Absolutely. So we asked people to send in their messages to Kenyans as they gear up to the elections. And Didas from Rwanda says, the Kenyans should learn from Rwanda. You know, today we have had elections and no one was harmed. Neither member of ruling party or member of opposition was hurt. And the country is now under full security and freedom. They should take example of our beloved country, Rwanda. This is a really good reminder.
Exactly. And, you know, someone from Nigeria called Olusoji Odemi says one word, tolerance.
Straight and to the point.
And to the point.
Camp S.A. George from Nigeria also says, Kenyans should be more constructive with campaigns rather than using hate speech. And I urge Kenyans to vote for whom they can trust, can deliver dividends of democracy to the people.
Chijoke Onyema, living in Germany, says, it's time for African youth to be more civilized. They should not allow those greedy and selfish African leaders to be using them to kill one another while their children are living and studying in Europe and America.
I will just take a quick break from reading the comments here. Mm-mm. Isaac, you have heard of Boniface Mwangi, who was an activist turned politician. One thing that he's doing in his campaign is he has printed out sheets that look like money, mm-hmm. that like Kenyan money. So it's not forgery, no. He is giving it the term manifesto. So it's money, the play of word from money, and manifesto. So what he intends to do for the people whom he's asking for votes from. Now back to your comments. Eli Kem from Ghana says they should come down and remember they are one people. Politics shouldn't divide them. They are all called Kenyans. They should learn to live in peace and harmony.
And Lamin Fofana says, Kenyans, please use your phones as a weapon to record any violence against the people and post it to social media. The perpetrators will face the full wrath of the law.
Isaac, do you think this will work or will it make the situation?
Let's just wait and see, as long as social media doesn't damage their empathy. Anyway, we come to the end of this program. On behalf of the team, I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Wanjiku Mwaura.
Wishing a splendid weekend.